the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome once again to our Torah tidbit. This week, our tidbit is going to be taken from the Torah portion called Devarim, which means words, and is also the Hebrew name for the book that you and I typically refer to as Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is derived from a Greek term that means second law. In many ways, this book is a second law. So consequently, in ancient times, this book was referred to as, in Hebrew, Mishneh Torah, or second Torah, or a review of the Torah. And it begins by saying this in Deuteronomy 1, verse 1, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all of Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness." Now, overall, the book of Devarim is where Moses, who was soon to die, retells the story of Israel from the time they left Egypt until the time just before entering the land of Canaan. And as they prepared to enter the land, Moses felt compelled to reaffirm God's instructions to them and to reiterate their obligation to keep all of God's commands. It was imperative that they live up to these things in the land. Furthermore, Devarim is a book where Moses speaks to the people those things that God has spoken to them. And thus, or we'll put it this way, he's teaching those words. That is, he is teaching his understanding of those words to the people. Throughout this book, Moses will say, "And the Lord spoke to me." Whereas in the rest of the Torah, we can see, "And the Lord spoke to Moses." So what I'm trying to get across here is that Devarim is more than just a review of the Torah. It is Moses teaching and expounding upon the Torah for the people as they prepare to enter the land of Canaan. The sage Vilna Gaon put it this way, "The first four books were heard directly from the mouth of the Holy One, blessed is He, through the throat of Moses. Not so Deuteronomy or Devarim. Israel heard the words of the book the same way they heard the words of the prophets who came after Moses." In other words, Moses was teaching them what God had said to him, and they would need to grow accustomed to this way of delivering the Word of God in the future, and they would have to be ready to respond to it. They would need to be able to hear God's words through men of God and not depend exclusively on a Mount Sinai experience. They would need to be able to discern the truth of God's word when it was taught by men other than Moses, such as the prophets who would follow him. And I believe that the Apostle Paul alluded to this concept when he said this in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" And so what he's getting at is we need to reach the world with the Word of God. And so how is this going to happen? And then he says this, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." So the point of this is to demonstrate that God would, in fact, send other men, other than Moses, with the glad tidings of good things. And consequently, that means that most of the world that would hear the Word of God would hear it spoken through a man of God, and not necessarily hear it by God Himself from atop of a mountain in some dramatic display. In other words, there would be many who would never hear the Word of God if these men weren't sent. Now, I would add to this that this need for men to be sent to teach the Word would accentuate the need for God's people to be intimately acquainted with God's Word so that they would, number one, be equipped to teach sound doctrine to others, and secondly, would be able to discern unsound doctrine when they hear it, so that they could distinguish the Word of God from the words of men. Let's look at it this way. If you and I only trusted that we were hearing the truth through a Mount Sinai experience, then we would always be looking for something very dramatic, very earth-shaking. And we would always be looking for signs and wonders. And the problem with that is that these signs and wonders potentially could lead us astray. I mean, think of it. If someone could come along and if they were able to simulate the drama of a mountaintop experience, thunderings and lightnings, while we're distracted by all the visual stimulation, they would be able to slip deceitful and false words in. And so with that thought in mind, I want you to consider this exchange between the Messiah and the religious leaders of his day in Matthew 16. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he talks about how they can discern the sky, but then in verse 4 he says this, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign." And so then, if we consider that God's people weren't faithful after the dramatic revelation at Mount Sinai, what might God's people do when we're simply presented with the mundane and the boring routine of daily life? The point I'm trying to make here is we can't count on those types of Mount Sinai experiences alone in order to hear the Word of God. We have to know what the Word says so that we can recognize when the truth of the Word is spoken and taught to us through the men God has chosen to expound upon His Word. That also means that you and I cannot be exempt from studying and learning the Word of God on our own. To the contrary, that's exactly what we must do, so that when we hear words, devarim, being uttered in God's name, we are able to recognize it as truth or not. Now consider this. When Moses spoke to Israel, he uttered words that were to be heard, not necessarily seen. What I mean by that is, consider what happened at Mount Sinai. They saw a lot of things, but many times when God's people rely on seeing something, for example, the giants, it led to disbelief. And so God's Word is intended to be heard, to be analyzed, to be internalized. Even when God appeared at Mount Sinai, they didn't see God. They heard Him speak. So spiritually speaking, it's more important to hear than it is to see. When we see things, we very quickly form an impression of what we saw, and we will base truth on that impression. The problem is sometimes seeing is not believing. A traffic cop who hears the testimony of eyewitnesses to a road accident at the end of his investigation probably has a clearer picture of what actually happened, even more so than those who saw it. You see, hearing requires that we listen, that we analyze what we're hearing, and that process provides the opportunity for a clearer picture of the truth. I want you to notice that the Shema does not say, "See, O Israel," but "Hear, O Israel." Listen. We must also consider that it is possible to listen to someone's words but never hear the message. Case in point, Yeshua repeatedly said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." What did he mean by that? Well, I think it's obvious that many were going to listen to the words, but many were never going to hear the word within the words. Consider what Yeshua said in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13. "I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive.'" Some commentators consider that Moses explaining this law, these words, as meaning that Moses wanted to unveil the hidden meaning within the Torah. In other words, impress upon them that the Word of God had to be heard rather than something they simply listened to. In other words, that there was a word within the words. And I say that because that is precisely in line with what the Messiah was saying in the scripture I just read to you. The Word of God is to be perceived, and I would argue with the heart and not the head, at least not exclusively. There is a deeper, hidden meaning, and in my view, it can only be fully understood if we're listening with our heart. Now, that thought brings us back to this thought, and that is the Word of God needs to be hidden in our heart so that we may not sin against Him. And furthermore, that because it's in our heart, we might be able to discern and be able to recognize what are the words and doctrines of men and what is the Word of God being taught by men of God. I believe Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And here's why. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And here's the purpose in that. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, He does raise up men to teach the Word of God so that you and I and all of us collectively will be able to distinguish the truth from the doctrines of men, so that we will not be blown about all over the theological map with everything that just comes along, every flavor of the month, as I like to put it. You see, we are to learn God's Word through others. And I would argue that if the Spirit of truth resides within us, then the Spirit of God within us is going to bear witness with the truth when we hear it. Moreover, we are obligated to test the spirits to see if they are of God. And we should always remember this, that when it comes to convincing others of something that doesn't innately resonate as the truth, the adversary is skilled at presenting a lie as something that is good, something that is compelling. In fact, as we know, in the last days, the adversary will deceive many with lying signs and wonders. And throughout all these lying signs and wonders, you know what he's using? Words. Finally, I'd like you to consider this very interesting point. All of the Torah was given outside of the land of Canaan, beyond the Jordan. Much of it, most of it, was given in the wilderness. And the Hebrew word for wilderness is midbar. And that word can also be pronounced as midaber. And that is translated as to speak. In other words, God speaks in the wilderness. And that underscores the notion that God's Word is oftentimes presented and should be received even under the most barren of conditions. Not necessarily on the mountaintop with flashes of lightning and sounds of thunder. Not necessarily with signs and wonders, but oftentimes, I would even argue most of the time, in the stillness and in the midst of nothingness. And it is in those times that we must know His Word and we must recognize His voice. It is in those times that we must respond to His Word in faith, as it is written in Romans chapter 10. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we know in other scriptures, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so I'll leave you with this thought. We are most definitely living in times where we need the Word of God as never before. We need to understand and perceive it as never before. Now, perhaps God will speak to us in a way that is similar to how He spoke to Israel from the mountain. And I'm sure that most of us would all like that, because if He speaks in that way, then there is no mistake that it's God, and there's no mistake about what He's saying, no mistake about what we're supposed to do. There's no ambiguity. However, as the Bible demonstrates again and again, that doesn't guarantee that we will remain faithful. I think it's more likely that we're going to hear God's word spoken to us as we read and as we study for ourselves, and we're going to hear it many times through the mouth of someone He has raised up to speak His word. So the point is, we need to be able to recognize His word within the words that are spoken. We need to be true to His word and to His instruction, and we need to respond always with faith. Well, that's it for this week's Torah Tidbit. I hope that you gleaned something from this. Till next time, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.